All right. Let's hear from our general manager for the Atlanta Hawks draft day tomorrow. First and foremost, here's what he said about Mike in regards to those trade exemptions and potentially going into the luxury tax.
We have a lot of optionality this summer, like between the moves we made at the deadline, a little bit more optionality, flexibility with the trade exceptions that we got, long way to the tax, different things that we could do, but also have authority to go into the tax if we need to. So just looking forward to locking in, and then next season I think it's going to be a fun one.
Had a couple of guys hit us up on the text line saying, well, that's kind of low energy. Well, I mean, he's not going to tell you his game plan. And I just kind of felt, to a degree, it was refreshing to not hear a bunch of, like,
BS?
Yeah, you know, all sorts of, like, buzzwords and, you know, all this stuff that now everybody in a Fortune 500 company seems to throw out in your, you know, in your emails. Yeah, I mean, he's just keeping it real. I mean, they said if it works. Now, I'll believe it when I see it, to see Tony Ressler get into some form of a luxury tax apron. I'd love to see them improve this team. I think everyone agrees. We talked to the real Bob Rathbun earlier today. You know, that and Sweeney from SI was on yesterday. With all the injuries to the stars, the Eastern Conference is as wide open as it's ever been.
Yeah.
But can we go all in? Can we do what? It's almost a little bit like 21. It's right for the picking.
It is right for the picking. If we decide to make some major moves.
That was post-COVID question. Where some teams didn't go all in with their rosters.
Everybody was kind of afraid to see where things are going to go. It's Dukes and Bell, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Ante Salah also talking about his philosophy heading into this draft.
When it comes to the draft, I always pick the best player available. Like, that's my philosophy. I don't believe in picking for a position. If there's a guy that makes sense for us, we're going to take him. And always the best player.
Okay.
Okay, you buying that?
No.
I mean, taking the best. All right. Well, I mean, we need front court help. That's for sure. You know, I mean, are you cool with Bufkin, by the way, backing up Trey? Because there's some mock drafts where they got us taking a good point guard.
Yes. I like Kobe Bufkin. I hate that he got hurt because it hurt his development last year. And that's something that we desperately need, Mike. But Kayson Wallace's brother was a guy that played a lot here in the second half of the season. For Kayson won the championship with OKC, but he's got a brother. And he played a lot. And, Mike, I liked his effort. I just don't know if he's going to be a guy that you look at as a potential backup for Trey. Either way, to answer your question, I don't believe that. I think they have a target or two that they're seriously looking at. And then even in certain categories, like, for example, if you just said, hey, they're going to go get a big. Okay, great. But that's not necessarily the best player available. That's a targeted attempt to go get a guy that fits in what you want to do.
Let me give some Hawks fans a heart attack when I tell you this kid's bio.
Okay.
18-year-old Jean Berenger from France, 6'11", 234. He's 18. He's got a 7 foot, 4.5 inch wingspan. As I said to Carl earlier, it's like a pterodactyl.
Yeah.
I mean, that's bigger than a hawk flying around, man. That's huge. Here's the rub, though. He's a soccer player. He only has been playing basketball for 3 years.
Yeah, there's a learning curve there.
Kind of like, remember Jamal Anderson, the football, the defender. Not the running back, but the D lineman. Same thing. Late bloomer. That was like one of Rich McKay's last draft picks.
Yeah.
But anyway, just that's one of the names. Sporting News had us linked to him. It's spelled Joan, like Joan of Arc, but it's pronounced John. So, but you and I do agree, though. There are some big dudes from over in, you know, in Europe that might fit the bill.
I think you know, pardon the expression, but you look far and wide. And you kind of see, you know, there should be no stone unturned or all that stuff, Mike. But when they talk about taking the best player, I think it depends on what your target is. And I feel like you going into this draft, you know where you're lacking. And if you don't decide to draft that, then I think you're neglecting your draft needs. Forget about, you know, the best player. 404-726-0929. One other thing, and I think this is a big one, guys, and you know, we've been talking about this today as well. We had on Bob Rathbun talking about this, the voice of the Atlanta Hawks on the TV side. And he was saying, look, they got to figure out what they want to do with their vets, including the guys we traded for. And, you know, are you keeping Terrence Mann and George Niang, who's under contract, and some of these other pieces, Caris LeVert? But what about Trey? And are the Hawks truly locked in on Trey? And is he going to be here? And, you know, he's under contract. But at some point, he's going to have a chance to opt out if you don't offer him that huge extension. Here's what Ante Salah, the general manager of the Hawks, said.
Yeah, we're locked in with Trey. And we talked last year, next season. We're just locked into next season, ready to move forward and be the best team that we could possibly be moving forward. And I think a lot of his leadership from last season went probably unnoticed to the common eye. Like, the way that he helped develop our young guys and make them better was significant. So, I mean, just continuing on with that and hopefully just making our team better.
Okay. And by the way, I mentioned Keaton Wallace is his brother. I want to make sure that's his brother who played for the Hawks this year.
A couple guys hit us up on the text line saying, hey, what about, you know, Derek Queen and certainly the big man from Duke, Kamen Malawach? They're going to be gone by most mock drafts.
If we stay at 13.
Yeah. Now, if we take 22 and 13 and move up, if that's along with maybe a player. But, yeah, I know Malawach is the guy I want, but it just doesn't seem like we can get him where he's going to be drafted.
Yeah, I think it's going to be that's going to be hard. And not to say we won't get a good player at 13 if we stay there. My whole thing with this draft is, and you know, we'll talk to some folks down there tomorrow. We're going to have some special guests that join us at State Farm. Is, Mike, you're going to draft, again, you just brought up the French guy, two young players. What's the impact of them coming in and helping you immediately?
Or like, trade, or that's the other thing, or is it just a bunch of horse hockey and we're going to trade those picks?
Right,
you know, I mean, and the guys you see drafted won't even be in a Hawks uniform, which happens all the time in
it
the draft.
It does. Yeah. Is it bullcorn? When you look at our roster and you look at what we currently have, if in fact you keep Terrence Mann and Caris LeVert, Mike, and you start talking about, okay, the bench looks good, right? Rishai Shea, Jalen comes back. Okongwu is out there.
You got Yang, you mentioned.
Yeah,
LeVert,
Dyson is, you know, we're talking about your starters. Okay, that's fine. How do you acquire more depth and get guys that can help this team immediately if you don't want to go trade for one of these prime free agents, or not free agents, but guys that are up to be potentially had? Listen, if you added Porzingis to this mix, it's a different team. Like, he adds something, an element coming off the bench that we just size.
Right.
He can spread the floor. There's stuff that he does that we don't have anybody that fits that, right? And George Niang is a streaky shooter. He was really good at times. He doesn't defend that well, right? There's a liability.
The minivan.
Yeah, and he's a great character. Like, he's fun to be around, but that's just what he is. So, and you mentioned Clint Capela. You start looking at this roster, you're going, okay, where can we upgrade?
Yeah, because that was one of the things, you know, Nance Jr., that's one of the things that, you know, we talked, Bob Rathlin brought that up. And if you combine that with maybe grabbing a big, see, that's the thing. If you're taking a big from Europe who's maybe played in one of those leagues, you know, over there, yeah, he's got some experience, like Rishai Shea did.
Yeah.
Do you want a college kid? I mean, you want a college big, like one of those kids, one of those dudes from Michigan? That, you know, one of those, you know, sort of stretch the floor guy, but maybe not a rim protector. I think we need a rim protector because, you know, anytime we get into, like, as you like to say, nut cutting time.
Yeah.
Unfortunately for us, it hasn't been playoffs, but play in. We seem to have those athletic teams just run roughshod on us.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. And by the way, to your point about, you know, a backup for Trey. Do you want to go that route? Like, is that your most pressing need?
If you like Bufkin, you got your guy.
I think so. I don't think that you have to go there if you feel like Kobe can do the job.
I would go get like a Naz Reid but again, Miles Turner. Those guys might stay with their own present teams. Real quick.
If they become available.
If they play and how the team plays it. Any interest? I know this, maybe these two wouldn't coexist, not have oxygen in the room. What about Trey and Julius Randle? If Julius is, I'm just, DJ Smith, you always make that face like I farted in church.
You're talking about getting him from the Wolves.
Julius got a player option with Minnesota.
Yeah. Yeah, he does. All right.
I mean, I know he's inconsistent at times, but that's a kind of like, when he wants to be ferocity we haven't had down low in time. I mean, him and Okongwu would be pretty interesting together.
No, it would be. Here's the thing, guys. The draft is one thing. I just want to separate these two, and we're going to talk more about this tomorrow. Chris is coming up with the night show. The draft is one element. Making a deal or a trade is going to be the other element that's going to either improve this team. We have a $25.3 million trade exemption to use. That is enough money to make something happen significantly. So it's not as if like, oh, we got a, you know, $3 million player exemption. We have a $25.3 million player exemption. And the general manager just said, hey, we're focused on trying to use that and do whatever it takes to make sure we get what we need to get. Those are different than what we're going to have. What's going to happen tomorrow night with the draft? So just understand, whatever we draft has nothing to do with this, Mike. Has nothing to do with whether they go out and use this exemption and how they use it to acquire maybe a couple of veteran players or a big time vet, depending on who that particular player is.
We'll be up there at State Farm, guys. We're going to have a lot of fun. Lauren Williams is going to join us from AJC, as Carl mentioned, and Pastor Troy, which will be fun to talk to.
Yeah. And who else? Tell us that, Day-Day?
Yeah, Nick Friedel is going to join us as well.
Yeah, Nick, good basketball guy. All right, man, lots to get to tomorrow. We hope that you tune in starting at 2. We'll be talking Braves as well and a bunch of other things. Hey, Dominator, man, we got to get out of here and clear our throat.
Dukes and Bella wrapping up another show. So it's time for
Let Me Clear My Throat
on Sports Radio 92.9. The Game.
Chris is on the way, guys. Stay right here. He's got a lot to talk about. Let's just hope the Braves keep winning. Look, I don't like some of the things that are going on. Mike mentioned it. Ozzie struggling. Monty Harris. But as long as we're winning, man, you know, that's all that matters. You just got to find a way to win series. This is a 4-game set, by the way. So you win tonight, you're halfway there. You could at least split. And then we come home for 3 with the Braves and the Phillies, which is also going to be a big series. All right, Mike Bell, we got to get out of here. Day-Day, great job. Executive producing. Clear your throat.
Man, LeBron James, man. Man for his time. Always in his feels. Always got to tell you that, you know, of course, I didn't have the advantage. He had. In this case, he's even talking about a guy who hasn't played a minute in the NBA. Talking about Cooper Flagg. Then Cooper going to a great place. I mean, he has the benefit, unlike myself. He gets to join a team that's established with Hall of Fame guys like Klay Thompson, Anthony Davis, Kyrie Irving. LeBron reminding you that he had to start in a woeful Cleveland. Just like he had to tell you a few weeks ago on a podcast. I don't know why everyone's obsessed with rings. It's not like the ring defines you as an athlete. Granted, I chased rings by going to Miami and creating the Big 3. LeBron, well, your legacy stands on its own, man. You don't have to throw those little digs, those little footnotes in. Everyone knows you're the man. Relax.
When somebody tells you they don't need it, they're lying. When Aaron Rodgers said, I don't need football, then why come back? He turns 42 in December, and today he told his buddy Pat McAfee, this is going to be my last season. I don't believe you. Aaron, you've been saying that for 7 years with the Packers. I don't know if I'm coming back. Every year you said, I don't need to, but you did. Just own it. You love football. There's nothing wrong with that. And you feel like you can still play at a high level, so do it. But stop pulling our saying you're not going to continue to do this when every year you've done it. Hey, if you love the show,
you tell your friends.
You don't?
You find sitting on the visitor side of Sanford just too warm.